for us today. And then we'll hear some passages from Scripture that help us to focus on joy. Not naive optimism, not fake happiness, but joy, honest to goodness joy. And so wherever you are this morning, if you're feeling it or not, I hope that you can hear something that will lift your spirits as we head towards Christmas. A few announcements pertaining to today. At 10:45, there will be a meeting for those interested in looking at the 2020 spending plan to see what ministry opportunities are planned for the coming year and how we intend to steward those gifts that so many of you have so generously given. So if that's of interest to you, we'd like to take a look at that before it's shared during the annual meeting. This is the day, and it'll be in a room that's off of the fellowship hall. You'll also see that Christmas gingerbread house decorating is happening, and that's in a room off the fellowship hall as well after worship this morning. Come and have some fellowship. I saw some Christmas cookies back there. It's going to be a fun morning. On Christmas Eve at 4 p.m., I'm looking for a few families and children that might be interested in helping to lead worship that evening. I have about 5 readings and prayers that I'd love to just give away to some of you who might be looking for an opportunity to connect. So if you have interest in that, feel free to write your name down and put it on my desk, maybe with your email, so that I know to reach out to you, or feel free to email me. I'd love to have as much participation as we can. And again, at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve, there are about 4 readings that are just narrative stories of the different characters of the Nativity. That's a more somber service, and I would love to have help as well in reading those if some of you intend to come back. It's a bit of a quieter service. That's 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. So this morning we're going to begin worship in just a slightly different way. And we're going to do that with the Advent wreath lighting and hymn. And that hymn can be found inside your bulletin. Joel is going to play through this song for us. And then we'll sing all 3 verses together as we begin our worship by centering our hearts and our minds. And then we'll have a song as the children enter. So come and find the goodness of the Lord. We'll light our Advent wreath. As you are able, as we join in singing our gathering song number 279. congregation may be seated. And if any children would like to come and watch and sit up on the ground in front, you are welcome to do that if you'd like. But I will yield it to our shepherd and our sheep as we begin the Christmas program.
Brothers and sisters, in Christ, today is a very special and holy day. Today is the day on which we will hear for the first time this year the Christmas story, that old, old story that we love so much. It is the honor and privilege of members and friends of our Sunday school to bring you the good news that is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the hills and fields surrounding the city of Bethlehem, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord shone around them, and glory of the Lord shone around them. I say, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Isn't one of you supposed to be an angel?
I'm supposed to be a shepherd. Look, I've got sheep. And I've got to be a shepherd because I've got a staff. And I wanted to be a shepherd because they got me shepherds. All I know is this is the costume my Sunday school teacher sent home with me.
All right. I guess we'll just have to make do with what we have. We'll have shepherds and people will just have to imagine the angels. Anyway, let's get back to the story. I just hope we have everybody else we need to tell it properly. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And just who do you think you are?
We're shepherds. We've been admin in the fields, keeping watch over our flocks by night.
See my sheep?
See my staff?
But we're expecting Mary and Joseph, not more shepherds. We have enough shepherds already. See?
I haven't seen anyone just like Mary and Joseph. I just know that I'm supposed to be a shepherd.
You've been admin in the fields.
I know. Keeping watch over your flocks by night.
But we need Mary and Joseph. We've got to tell the part about the manger and the swaddling clothes. Look at you all. There's no Mary. There's no Joseph. There's no angels or innkeepers. But the real problem is, there's just too many shepherds. Getting out of control. We're trying to tell the Christmas story. You know, the story about angels and innkeepers.
And shepherds!
And Joseph and Mary.
And shepherds!
And the baby Jesus in the manger with the animals. How can we tell the story with nothing but shepherds? The shepherds don't even have a very good part. All they do is stand there.
That's not true.
Yeah, we do a lot more than just stand here.
We've been keeping watch over our flocks by night.
We've got sheep.
We've got a staff.
We look good.
And more than just looking good, we have a very important part in this story. Read a little farther and we'll prove it to you.
Okay, let's see. Where were we? Oh, yes. And the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known the saying which the angel had told them concerning this child. And all who heard it, wondering at those things which the shepherds had spoken. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen.
Wait, see right there, read that part again.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen.
And you said we didn't have a very important part?
What better role could there be than the one who gets to glorify and praise God?
Yeah, the shepherds believed the angel's message and went right away to see where Jesus had been born.
And they told the others what the angel had said.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You do have an important part in this story. We take back all those things we said before about there being too many shepherds.
There can never be too many shepherds.
In fact, everyone here is a shepherd.
All of us have heard of the good news of Jesus' birth.
And all of us can respond by glorifying and praising God.
And all of us can tell others the story.
It's a big responsibility. You know, come to think of it, we need even more shepherds. I've got a good idea. Since it was the shepherds who had the first chance to tell others the story of Jesus' birth, why don't you all help me share the good news?
We thought you'd never ask.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And it came in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augusto that all the words should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Irens was a governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered.
And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom was engaged and was expecting a child.
And so it was that while they were there, the time came to deliver her child, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no more room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid, so afraid.
But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring..."
But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a great sign, clothed lying in the manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth on peace, goodwill to all." And it came to pass when the angels had left them that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place and which the Lord has made known to us."
And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known that which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
You can find a shepherd costume.
You
made it. That's awesome. Let's give our shepherds and sheep a round of applause. You guys did great. We're going to sing a song about how we can go and share that story and tell it on the mountain. So if everybody wants to stand up, and everybody can turn to page 290, and we're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain together, okay? All right. Our kids one more time for sharing the Christmas story with us. You guys are great. Everyone can be seated, and kids, you can head to Sunday school. First grade through first grade are going to your Sunday school classrooms with your teachers, and second grade through sixth grade is going to the fellowship hall to enjoy some cookies, and shepherds with the speaking parts are going to stick around and help me out with something real quick. Remember that part. Yeah. So, we are going to have some of our shepherds take the noisy offering this morning. It's going to ELCA Good Gifts, World Hunger. They do really a good job at making work sustainable, or at making these gifts sustainable for the communities that they're received in. So the shepherds are going to come around and share some. Get everyone? All right. Guys, come on back. Give a wave if we missed you. Looks like a couple people are here. That's awesome. That will help a lot of people do good things. So. These guys helped me realize earlier that I'm kind of dressed like a shepherd too, so I sort of fit in right now in this moment. But let's give thanks to God for all these gifts we'll do to help build sustainable communities. Let's pray. Gracious God, for the generosity of people to share good gifts with those in need throughout the world, we give you thanks. We pray that you might sustain those who work for ELCA World Hunger, that those who are hungry may be fed, and those who are lonely may be visited, and those in any kind of need may receive care. Thank you, Lord, most of all, for your messengers, your shepherds, these children, who remind us that we don't always have to know the story perfectly, but we can be present and share the good news from wherever we are. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, you guys. You can put the noisy offering cans back over here and then head to the fellowship hall. And we'll see you again soon.
A reading from Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunts of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there. Nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second reading is from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
According to Matthew, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A bit of irony around here this week. I couldn't find my copy of Where's Waldo anywhere, which felt stressful because I keep it in my office for when children come to visit with their parents or their siblings so they have something to look at and to do. And so I sought high and low and it just was nowhere to be found. And finally I decided maybe it got mixed up in the library. So I went to go check in the library and Shannon was cleaning in there and I said, "Shannon, I can't find Where's Waldo anywhere." And she said, "Have you tried the W section?" Not very helpful. Sometimes Advent can feel like a Where's Waldo exercise, except instead of Where's Waldo, it ends up being Where's Jesus? Where's joy? Where's this hope that we're proclaiming with our Advent blue? In the midst of added dates to the calendars and shopping lists and trying to navigate Rib Mountain on a busy day, and trying to eat food and nurture our bodies and our souls and do all of those normal things that we might struggle with anyway, it can be difficult to find Jesus. I was looking for my book, my Where's Waldo book, and I found my manger scene, and this is what it looked like for 2 weeks straight. I don't know if you can see it, but Jesus is under the camel. Joseph and Mary are upside down underneath the donkey in the back corner, and there is a wise man who is just not looking good. Doesn't it feel like this sometimes? Life? Advent? Like, Jesus is under the camel? We can't find in the midst of all of the changes of the season, or even the changes around here at church, or the changes in life, a spark of joy. I was curious, so I looked online, and I wanted to find if there was something true to the fact that the holiday season can sometimes be more stressful. And I found an article that was written by David Levine, and he shared some facts. He said that according to the American Psychological Association, 38% of people said their stress level increased during the holidays. Another survey by the investment firm Principal Financial Group revealed that 53% of people feel financially stressed by holiday spending, even though more than half of the 1,000 respondents had created holiday budgets. There is a tension between perhaps what we expect and how we feel. And sometimes it's not necessarily specific to Advent, but it's life that feels like that. There's a gap between what we expect or thought life would look like and what it actually does. Enter John the Baptist, who's speaking this morning to his disciples in the gospel from prison. He's behind bars. And just last week, he was out in the wilderness boldly proclaiming that the one who would come after him would not baptize with water, but would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And now he has this question. Ask Jesus if he's the one who is to come or if we're waiting for somebody else. There's a gap between what he expected and what his reality is. And if you read on in Matthew, you see that things don't end so well for John the Baptist. When John's disciples get to Jesus, he says to them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." Now, I have to admit, it would have been really helpful if Jesus would have just said, "Yep, that's me." You know, and sent them back directly. I'm type A, so I like stuff to happen just like that. You know, answer the question you're being asked. But Jesus tells John's disciples, to ground themselves in the reality of their experiences, and to look at what God is doing by what they can see and what they can hear. Here we have in this passage a reminder that echoes Isaiah. The blind are receiving their sight. So Jesus is healing. The lame, the people who couldn't walk, are walking. The lepers, the people who are chronically ill, are being healed. Deaf people are hearing. Even the dead are coming back to life. And the poor who live in a prison of poverty have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me, Jesus says. In Isaiah, the prophet is speaking to a group of people who are exiled. They're away from where they thought their home was. And the prophet has not a word of judgment, but a word of hope and a prayer. Strengthen the weak hands, Lord. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong. Do not be afraid. Here is your God. I grew up in a congregation where we had purple and pink candles, and this is the pink candle Sunday. Here at St. Andrew, we just have blue. But this is the pink candle Sunday to symbolize joy just before we turn to the end of Advent. And yet many of us are not in prison, but we are in isolation, or we are boxed in some other way by prisons named grief that just won't ever seem to end, or family expectations that don't quite meet our hopes, or vocational struggles, or illnesses of many kinds, body, mind, and spirit. And Jesus responds to you. What do you see? What do you hear? Sometimes the first thing that we see is what's wrong. Sometimes the first thing that we hear is bad news. But look at what generosity God has poured upon us, that we are gathered here today to witness the story of Christ's coming from our littlest members. And if God can use them to share a story dressed like a sheep, then God can surely use us to share a story. There's a meme that's floating around Facebook that reminds me where real joy can be found. And it's an invitation. This Christmas, mend a quarrel, seek out a forgotten friend, dismiss suspicion, and replace it with trust. Write a love letter. Give a soft answer. Encourage youth. Manifest your loyalty in word and deed. Keep a promise. Forgo a grudge. Forgive an enemy. Apologize. Try to understand. Examine your demands on others. Think first of someone else. Be kind. Be gentle. Laugh a little more. Express your gratitude. Welcome a stranger. Gladden the heart of a child. Take pleasure in the beauty and wonder of this snow-covered earth. Speak your love and then speak it again. When joy is hard to find, we have an opportunity to share it. And when we can't feel it, we have a whole group of people that is here to feel it with us and to remind us that in Christ's coming, we have a God who broke us free from every single spiritual prison that we could ever find ourselves in. That in Christ, who comes as a child, experienced the whole range of humanity, all the way to death on a cross and beyond, a resurrection where there is real joy waiting. It's that joy that you were baptized into on a day in your history when a pastor poured water over your head and prayed for a spirit of joy in God's presence. It's different than naive optimism. It's different than false happiness. It's real joy that comes when we notice what good God has done around us. And then we ourselves find even just a little glimpse of energy to participate in it this year. I'm excited to get my nativity scene back set up straight and in its place to remember that Christ does come to meet us exactly where we are with the good news. Everlasting joy shall be upon your heads. You shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. awake as we watch for Christ. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. The response to the prayers today is, "Your mercy is great." Holy God, we rejoice that your promises take on flesh in Jesus. Grant patience to your church awaiting the fulfillment of your reign of justice and peace. Restore in us the hope that we are called to proclaim to the world. Hear us, O God. Living God, we rejoice that you coax flowers from the desert and water from the wilderness. Send rain to parched fields and sun to flooded plains. Nurture all that lies sleeping under frozen ground. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, we rejoice in your authority as the Prince of Peace. Deliver us from those who wield power through unjust and oppressive ways. Raise up prophets to speak your truth in this and every nation. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, we rejoice that you dwell in human bodies. Renew signs of your joyful presence in people of all shapes, sizes, ages, and abilities. We especially pray for those on our prayer list, those for whom a candle has been lit, and those we name on our lips or in our hearts. Empower all to embrace their callings and the gifts of your Spirit. Hear us, O God. Generous God, we rejoice that you create us to praise you. Strengthen the voices and hands of all who prepare to celebrate Christ's birth with music, dancing, and proclamation, in worship and in community. Be with Pastor Justin today as he shares news of his coming to us with his current congregation. Be with his wife Phyllis and daughters Genevieve and Lillian as they consider the transition of their life in the near future. Hear us, O God. Eternal God, we rejoice that all who die in Christ are renewed to life. We thank you for the lives of those who have prepared the way for us and have now joined the great cloud of witnesses. Hear us, O God. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us. May these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together, let us pray the Lord's Prayer as it is printed for us on page 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table. It is open to all. You may be seated. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal you have invited us to feast with you and with one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We sing our sending song number 267. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.